Here we go. Now we're recording. So good morning, people. Welcome in Jesus' name. As you know, you're here because the Holy Spirit drew you to this place. It's not by chance or by fluke, but the Holy Spirit drew you here, the same as he's out there working, drawing more people to this place, just not at this moment. This word I wanted to share with you is just called, I am alone. You know, there are many times in our Christian walk that we feel really lonely, okay? And there's various forms of loneliness. We might cover a few in here. So remember, that feeling of loneliness is in the area of the mind. Remember, we're a triune being. We're made up of three things. So we're made up of body. That's the flesh, the part, if you cut it, hurts or bruise or whatever. And the soul, that's the part that if someone says something, it hurts, you know. Like there's that old saying that sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me, which is not really true because names do hurt you. That almost hurt me, but it was in the area of the soul. Are you getting there? Ah, there we are. Look at that.
Yeah.
Right when I went, okay. So now we're getting on. Very good. Where was I? And then, of course, there's the part of us that's the spirit, the deep-rooted part that is really us. The part that when we commit ourselves to the Lord and when we give up our will to him, that we are spiritually reborn. Because you can't communicate with God unless you are spiritually reborn, really. True communication, that is. Of course, remember, you can be lost and pray and he'll answer. Anyway, I am alone is in that area. It's in the area of the mind. So when you think of loneliness, you think it means I am alone. So here's the truth. Loneliness strips away the external comfort of those around me, driving me to find comfort in Christ alone. Do you get that? I'll say it slowly. Loneliness strips away the external comfort of those around me, driving me to find comfort in Christ alone. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 4 says, sorry, I didn't prepare. I was on holiday. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. It's talking a little bit about experience, isn't it? We've experienced it, we can comfort others. There are times when God allows us to feel alone. I'll say that again because people hate this. There are times when God allows us to be alone. That is in terms of the world around us. Okay. However, despite our extreme dislike of loneliness, God's grace sometimes allows it for a season to drive us deeper into his word and prayer in search of a hope-filled and life-giving oneness with him. Christ knows we cannot find true and lasting comfort in anyone but himself, since he is the only one who is the God of all comfort. By removing the earthly comfort of those around us, the Lord moves us in one or two directions. One, towards a deeper intimacy with our Saviour, or two, towards the unveiling of an unrepentant heart. If you feel alone in your suffering, thank God that he loves you enough to allow this time in your life to draw you nearer to him. He does not do this out of harshness, but out of desire to increase your faith and provide you what you what he only can give. Have you ever had that thought? No one understands. The pity party. We all have those moments through life. You know, no one understands me. Right, here's the line. I am the only one who has suffered like this, and no one will ever be able to understand my pain. That's a lie. The truth? Christ will not ask us to suffer anything he himself has not already suffered. And many who have gone before us have endured similar or harder roads than I have in order to bring us to the comfort they received in Christ. One of the reasons temptation arises is because often we don't know many people, if any, in our immediate circle of friends, family, or even acquaintances who have been called to endure the specific burden that we've been given to carry. Even if we do happen to know another person who can relate to our pain, different temperaments and levels of maturity in our faith provide for unique experiences and responses within the same general trial. So every pain is individual. It's not always the same. I can't even imagine someone who'd lose a child. Okay, therefore, although the reality is that others may have lived through a similar form of suffering, in our eyes, no one can completely understand our own. We can sympathize, but we can't fully understand. If the enemy can make us believe that there is truly no one who can understand, it will tempt us to shut others out, even those whom God has provided for us as support and encouragement. The danger of this isolation is that it will lead us away from people who surround us with truth when we most need it, sending us towards bitterness, depression, hardness, regret, and ultimately uselessness in the kingdom of God. Therefore, we must remind ourselves of this truth. 2 Corinthians 1, 5, 6. 2 Corinthians 1, 5, 6. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces a new patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. Jesus Christ is the only one who can enter into our pain fully and completely. He alone knows our heart, our temperament, our insecurities, our fears, our emotions, and our desires. So we fight the temptation to withdraw by first realizing that Christ alone can fill the deep holes left by the heartaches of life. When we realize that only Christ can bring us true and eternal comfort, we free people from having to meet our expectations. And when we free people from meeting our expectations, our eyes are open to the gift of the holy body of Christ and his provision of comfort given through his people. Our Saviour does not comfort us by cheering us on from a distance. Instead, he comforts us with the assurance of our salvation, the power of the Holy Spirit and the body of Christ, providing us with strength, courage, and boldness. So who's the body of Christ? The church. That's why he says in Hebrews 10:25, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. But that's the scripture about do not forsake the gathering together of the brethren. A very good reason for it, you know. You'll have people, I know people who believe that you don't need to belong to a church to be a Christian. Well, true. It certainly helps. You know, fringe Christians, have you ever heard that term? They're people who they walk their Christian life, they believe they talk to God, and I'm sure some of them do, but it's very easy for them to go astray unless they're in a body like this, you know, where we all have the same teaching, we all talk about the same things, we all kind of roughly have the same theme week to week through our home group studies and through church, what comes across the pulpit. So we have an idea of who we are and where we're going, whereas a fringe Christian and a person who doesn't fellowship or go to church is in great danger of deception. I'm not saying they're deceived, they're in danger of deception. I mean, some are ordained to be alone. I think John the Baptist was one of those. You know, so there are people. Some may think God must not be loving if he allows this. Okay, here's the lie. A loving God wouldn't make me take such a lonely road. You ever thought that? Heard people talk about it? You know, why does your God allow this? All these wars and all these sicknesses and illnesses and things. Why does God allow that? Hear people say that? I'm sure we say it ourselves. And also, if he really loves me, he will always provide support and encourage and understand from those around me. The truth? A loving God sent his own son down the most loneliest road ever known to man so that I would never have to walk any road alone. That's the other way of thinking about it. And I know that when I've been in deep, not depression, but when I've been, and I suppose it's a form of loneliness, but when I've been in a place of, almost depression, I always think about Jesus on the cross. I think, you know, it's nothing compared to what you had to put up with. No, nothing. And that gives me comfort and builds up my faith a little. Okay, so Hebrews 12:3. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Apart from the grace of Jesus Christ, none of our suffering in this life would have any purpose, value, or hope. But because of the gospel, it does. So rather than seeing these seasons of loneliness as our enemy and something to avoid at all costs, we can see it as a privilege and calling to walk the lonely road of Calvary with our Saviour. He allows us to experience glimpses of the path he walked so that we can also experience the great comfort and reward that will be ours for eternity in him. The thought, I don't have enough faith. You ever thought that? I have. Okay, the lie, if I feel alone, I must not have enough faith. Many people think that. The truth? Holding fast to Jesus despite loneliness proclaims to those around us that he is worth the lonely path we walk. I can experience and share the walk with my Saviour who walked the painful and lonely road to Calvary for my salvation, hope and comfort. It is an honour and a privilege to be called to walk in his footsteps because it assures us that we are children of God. John 16:32-33. A time is coming, in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace in this world. You will, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Even the loneliness we experience on these painful roads is ordained by the loving hand of God. You know, lots of things in the kingdom sound totally opposite than the world. This is one of them. I mean, if I said this to a person in the world, what do you think they'd say? They'd say, oh, are you some kind of masochist? You know? Although we feel alone, we are never truly abandoned. At times he allows these seasons, remember, to produce in his children endurance, strength, unwavering faith. Loneliness reminds us that this world is not our home, that we have been commissioned to spread the gospel in the place and time marked out for us. We've got a job, and opportunities arrive. Loneliness is not hopelessness and does not defeat us, but instead empowers us to know Christ more and make him known to those around us who are watching. People in the world watch us all the time. As soon as they know you're a Christian, they're just watching you, waiting for you to make a mistake and go, aha! Have you struck that? I have. I usually say, well, you must be a better Christian than I if you know the difference. There are some incredibly painful, lonely roads that some of us are asked to walk. We sometimes experience this loneliness in a very real and raw way in our lives. Okay, so I'm not just saying these things to simply teach and correct a way to handle the loneliness many of us feel. My hope is that you will be encouraged and strengthened and determined not to give up and not to give way to lies of the loneliness of pain, but allowing it instead to magnify the gospel in your life. Have you found yourself believing any of these lies in your own seasons of loneliness? Whether you are going through something hard that you do not think anyone else understands, or you are facing a change in life where you just feel alone, God's word provides hope and strength. There is someone who is closer than a brother and is always with you. Jesus Christ is our Lord, Savior, our Redeemer. So I'll finish off with some scriptures. Romans 8, 31, 38. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give up all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers. We'll finish that there. 1 Samuel 12, 22. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. Psalm 27, 10. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Psalm 25, 16. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. So when you're feeling lonely, just remember those things. Just remember that you are in the palm of your God's hands, and He will never leave you nor forsake you. Remember the other time I spoke about that, the emphasis is on never. If you look at the Greek translation, it says, I will never, 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 continuation, leave you nor forsake you. The English language cuts it short. Right? So He will never, never, never leave you nor forsake you. Okay, so let's pray. Father, God of all creation, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you that you gave us a way out through your Son, Jesus. Jesus, thank you that you came and saved us. You're a mighty God. Thank you that you left us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to work in our lives, to lead us into all truth and righteousness. Be with us this week, Lord. Show us the path you want us to go. Open our eyes, Lord. Continually guide us. Amen. Musicians.